The scripture lessons for the first Sunday in Advent come from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, and then from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as a people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors, all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned, as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us. A son is given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, when Jesus heard that John the Baptizer had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, on them light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." This is the word of the Lord. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas is a good time to just notice how much time we spend getting ready for an event more than actually celebrating it. Thanksgiving meant extra days off for some, extra cooking and baking for others, extra food shopping for almost everybody. And here comes Christmas, with all the planning and preparation and whatever else it takes to get the trees and the presents and the plans all in place. Wouldn't it be tantalizing to have one shopping day for Christmas and 5 weeks to celebrate it? Well, that's not going to happen. It's just not enough time to get ready for all we think we have to do in order to celebrate the way we want to. And it is worth it. It's worth all of the busyness and the effort to celebrate Christmas. It is. Or we wouldn't do it. But why? Why do we have our Advent season of 4 weeks, all that time thinking about the coming of the Christ, if it's only for historical reasons? Then it's just an over and over and over yearly memorial, and yet Christmas has to be a lot more than happy birthday to Jesus. Now, if we wanted to stick with the exclusively Christian theological approach, then our Old Testament lesson and its repetition in the New Testament lesson needs to be questioned. How was it vital to the people of the prophet's day? Isaiah's people were in the middle of a war. There was lots of oppression, and everything but peace followed what Isaiah said to his people. So there has to be another way to understand the prophet and to interpret the New Testament lesson and so explain this season of Advent as worthy in its own right. And not just a Christian preliminary, a kind of churchly warm-up act for Christmas. To do that, consider that weird sermon title, Advent, celebrating the already, not yet. How can something happen and still be not yet? When Isaiah spoke the words of the Old Testament lesson, his people were still in darkness. They didn't have any leadership. They were not the conquerors, they were the conquered. War was still highly possible and extremely probable, and the Messiah had not yet come. And yet Isaiah writes as if the advent, the coming of the Messiah, had already taken place. Now you can try to explain that by saying the prophet was so sure of God's promises being fulfilled that he spoke of them as if he was in the future looking back. Well, that really doesn't help a whole lot. And we 21st century Christians still see that there is a lot of the promises that have been fulfilled, but not totally, not yet. So much so that Advent is the time to consider the already not yet promises of God. Consider that Old Testament lesson especially. In verses 2 and 3, it talks about light and joy. Now, how can a people in darkness be in darkness if they see a great light? Can you be in deep darkness and even know a light is shining? How do we understand those familiar Advent and Christmas words and so appreciate them? Now, for Isaiah's people and for us, we know about God's salvation. They remembered the Exodus. We think about Christ's cross. Those events shine as darkness penetrated by light. Already. But there are still dark places. In our world, like in Isaiah's world, there is still strife and fighting and oppression and suffering. I always liked the Christmas song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and I like it even more when I found out the history of it. It was written by Longfellow. And you can see that if you look in a hymnal that has that song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. You know that one. What you might not know is that Longfellow wrote it at the darkest part of our history as a country, right in the middle of the Civil War. And he did it to address the issue we're addressing, the kind of already not yet part of Advent and Christmas and hope. And we know we need this because personally, who of us would say we need no more light for our attitudes and feelings? Christmas is known to be a time of deep depression for many because of the supposed happiness and light of the season that we see on all the commercials, and yet it seems so far out of reach for some. Not yet. In verse 3, it talks about the joy of the harvest and the spoils of war. They weren't present for the people of the prophet's day. And they're not present for us either. There's poverty, there's homelessness, there's the difficult economy. And yet, we recognize the emotional need for joy as much as our physical need for light. It is the preparation of Advent and the promise of Christmas that we understand are not luxuries, they're necessities. It's why we will all put so much time and effort into it, or into them, Advent and Christmas. with the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, both they, the people of Isaiah's day, and we of today, confess there are many reasons for rejoicing, and yet those two, those reasons to celebrate, are already not yet. If you're following along the Old Testament lesson in verses 4 through 6, we find the causes or the sources for this joy the prophet's talking about. The yoke of oppression is broken, which means freedom from oppression. That's happened nationally, personally, but not completely. We're not free as a nation, and we're not free as a world until we are all free, and until the danger of losing freedom is gone. And personally, we all know the weight of that yoke of sin and guilt. The results of wars, even those fought ostensibly to stop evil, have still left us with a terror of thinking about the next one, which continually haunts our security and robs our economy on a daily basis. Now, the possibility of less nuclear weapons is beginning, and we're starting to see some of the benefits. Some of the old weapons have been destroyed. If everybody cooperates, that will be a joy. But it's still not yet, because very few weapons have actually been decommissioned, and there are still those, Iran, North Korea, who want to make more. Well, we can be thankful for a beginning already. But we've got a long way to go yet. And then we come to the best known part of that passage in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born. And that child bears names that speak about the very nature of God and his love and grace. And of course, we see more than just a great earthly king ruling Israel. We see the Christ himself. And even in those names, we find already not yet. As wonderful counselor, we believe Jesus Christ puts it all together, makes all the pieces fit, gives us direction. We also confess we've not yet seen the whole picture, the finished product. In fact, we still have serious questions about why and how come, especially in terms of personal suffering for those we love and know that God loves them too. As mighty God, we confess that Jesus Christ, as mighty and all-powerful, has defeated death. But we still shudder at its prospect. We secretly believe we are, or we should be, indestructible, and yet experience tells us we're not. How we live and die and live again is a large part of our being here this morning in this Advent, working on our faith. The name Everlasting Father is something that Jesus taught us, showing us God's parental care. It is Jesus who taught us to pray to God saying, Our Father. I've said many times, that's what's new about the New Testament. And it has affected that prayer, our attitude toward God, more than we can measure. And yet there are times we still feel abandoned and helpless. And lonely. And who of us would say that we don't need emotional support? The kind you get from a heavenly father. As Prince of Peace, we all want to hear Jesus' shalom. But we're still looking for the absence of war, all war, cold war, economic war, war on terror. And we know that it's possible in Christ. We also know it's not yet, if any reading of the daily news is a reflection of reality. So where or when or will or does or has this happened, this already not yet? Where is the peace and the salvation of which there will be no end? Well, Isaiah said it would be from David's line, and we believe that's Jesus. The prophet said it would be with justice and with righteousness. And we see that power and that goodness combined in Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. Isaiah said it would be from this time forth already and forevermore, which is not yet. And then he said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And there's our reason to celebrate. God has been, is, and will be at work. And so we prepare for Christmas by celebrating Advent, not so that he will come, he's already come, but because he's coming again, because we've not yet experienced all the blessings God intends. Already Jesus Christ is ours. The incarnation, the Word made flesh to dwell among us, his name, Emmanuel, God with us, shows us that. But we're not in heaven yet. All is not yet as it should be. So as we can recognize this already not yet character of our faith, we can see how marvelous God has acted for us and yet is not finished with us. And as we do that, we will recognize how and why we celebrate our preparation for Christmas as well as the day itself. So we can reevaluate all the busyness and all the different schedules, the details, the seasonal music, the extra work, the goodwill, the many aspects of Christmas preparation. It's Advent. And right now, we're celebrating the already not yet. Jesus came. Jesus is coming again. The true celebration is more than just a remembrance. Because to be truly joyful, we need to include some anticipation, some not yet. But to be anticipated, it requires some good history of blessings, some already. And so this Advent season, all of us need to spend some time cataloging some of our already blessings and listing some of our anticipated not yet graces. And that will help us to better understand the process of Advent as we find ourselves celebrating the already not yet. Amen.